Let's get ready to wrinkle!
Star Wars.
We're making Minecraft noises.
These are weird.
My kids play Minecraft now.
Yeah? So does your co-podcaster.
Okay. Which one?
This one. I'm pointing at me.
My kids have been begging for forever, so I got it for them for Christmas. And
on their iPads?
That, yeah. Well, they have little Kindles, and they play it on their Kindle. But I was like, my niece plays it. So I was like, all right, it's probably okay for these guys. And one day, I think David, you know, who's four, comes up and he's like, oh, Dad, I'm getting chased by zombies. I'm like, zombies? What?
What's this like, game rated? And then you look at it, oh, like Lego zombies. No, that's fine.
Yeah, but still, cool. But it was zombies chasing them and eating them. And I was like, all right. But they love legit. It. They love the whole zombie thing.
And they sound like this.
Were they naked zombies?
Zombies.
No, my in the week and a half that I've been playing, you know, I played for like a day several months ago.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous what I've already I've tumbled down the hole into manipulating.
What podcast is this now?
I know. I reskinned it with Star Wars skins. There's a whole Star Wars texture pack you can install. Yeah,
instead of a diamond pickaxe, it's a tri-saber.
Yeah. Is that for real?
Probably not.
You guys need to stop playing with me.
Should be. What are you guys going to develop that?
Is
that
just saying that'll be there. I'm sure it'll be there in no time for good old 1.8.1. I'm just saying. Yeah, we'll start up a server, a Fly Casual Star Wars Minecraft server.
All right, we got to do it. We got to do it now.
Yep. You know, we talked in our sister podcast, Press Play to Save, about setting up a Minecraft server.
Yeah, hey, so, I was on that one.
Yeah, you sure was.
Yeah, was it?
And so, yeah, maybe we do try to take that into a slightly Star Wars bend. But yeah, I've tumbled down that rabbit hole. I don't get how the kids can play this game.
Okay, David Letterman.
On
the kids.
Hey, you got any gum?
Hey.
You got any gum? You got any gum? I'm just gonna keep doing it.
We need a top 10. We need a top 10.
Yeah, because I'll never do an impression of someone. I always do an impression of another person doing an impression of someone. That's how I roll.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the kids can play these games on the touch screens. I'm
kids nowadays
fully immersed in touch screens, but I feel like they're just living a lie. Like I don't want to. It's not like our music was better in our day, even though it clearly was. It's the it's that like literally like you're playing the GIMPed version, and it doesn't like everything is harder about. Yeah, well, how can you do that without wanting to gouge your eyes out?
I'm just going to start calling you George Lucas.
No, we need CG Minecraft. Oh,
old man Wilson. That's an understand touchscreen.
You're starting to sound like Papa.
We'll get Papa on here to talk about Minecraft. But
where's the keyboard? My 4-year-old.
No,
I mean,
buttons.
He's doing the Minecraft now, right?
I think so I just heard him.
Can you guys hear me? Am I talking to thin air? What's going on?
He was talking about Papaw.
Okay. I heard Papaw in the distance.
Oh, all right.
I think we woke him.
Okay. Uh-oh. He's going to be cranky.
It's hard for me to even grapple.
Is Papa on the show today?
No. Papa's nursing a hangover 3 feet wide right now.
Well, that's like every night for him.
Well, that's why we don't hear from him that often. You gotta get him in the, you gotta throw him in the shower, turn on the cold water for an hour.
Oh, that's what I hear.
Then he slinks out.
When he's coming on the show. Yeah.
It's really a mess. Sloppy. He can't towel himself off anyway. I don't want to get mess, into
the details. Oh my gosh.
But ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Welcome one and all to episode number 23. It's our Michael Jordan episode. Swish.
Oh, is that what we're calling this?
Yeah, fly casual, which means we're going to gamble away all our goodwill. Oh. But that's okay. We'll, quote, retire, end quote, and play baseball for a season and then, quote, come out of retirement, end quote, with a different number for no reason for half a season. Hooray!
Was it 45?
Yay. 45.
Yeah, 45.
Yep. When we get to 45, it'll be our other Michael Jordan episode.
Our retired Michael Jordan. Come back.
Yeah.
Come back.
Were you just declaring it for him to come out of retirement again?
Maybe. I don't know. This is Scotch talking.
Leave the Hanes behind. Welcome to Fly Casual, the podcast where we talk about all kinds of wacky things Star Wars. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the most recent episodes of Rebels.
Rebels.
And also, of course, we'll also be talking about the new Marvel comic books that have been released.
That's singular, comic book.
And then we'll be getting into the nitty gritty of the rumor mill. And I don't know if you've ever been to the rumor mill, but that place needs cleaning.
Yeah. I had to pick out a switch and go to the rumor mill.
Oh, brother, you don't want to use the restrooms at the rumor mill.
I'm thinking of the future here. Because I always think in the future.
You should think now about the future that you actually have the thoughts now.
Oh, dang, that's my problem the whole time.
Otherwise, we have to wait. You're like, know what I'm thinking? I'll tell you in a few days.
But what I'm thinking is we need to have, when we get closer to episode 7, we need to have a Roomies podcast. Which is,
I don't get it. Is that related to the television show Roomies?
No, it's the best of the rumors that we had heard.
Oh,
or the craziest rumors.
So we hand out the
Roomies.
We like give
the
ourselves Dundies awards like Hollywood does.
Do we have to campaign for them? Do we send DVDs around to each other?
Yeah.
Put up billboards. Sweet. All topical right now.
Classic.
I got to tell you, hey, I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. With me, there not on is my left, but with me in spirit, is yes, Mr. Michael J. Archbold.
Hello, Corey T. Wilson. Hey, how are you tonight?
Oh, dandy.
Yeah.
I've switched to ice water. So, you know, we've gotten tonight on in the evening when I've switched to ice water.
Wow. Well,
we've had issues in the past.
That's true. That's true. Hey, I want the joints to work when I wake up in the morning. Otherwise, you know, then I'm going to need an oil bath and
they're going to be like Papaw.
Yeah. I won't be able to towel off. That'd be a real problem. Man. And of course,
I'm not doing it for you.
No, but you are across the pond and down a few. Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's decent.
I'd like to thank the Academy and
sure you do,
Howie for coming up with the idea to give us awards.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Did anybody catch the Globes? Did you catch the Globes this past week?
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, what we call it when we're in attendance.
Not only no, but hell no. Sorry.
Are you catching the Globies?
Did we win? Did we win something?
At some point, I flipped over to giving less of a crap about the Oscars and giving like the Golden Globes a little more credit. First off, the way they structure their awards, I like a little more. But also, they tend to give them to things a little more that I don't think are quite as far up their own butt like the Oscars, you know? And so I'm not saying it's like People's Choice where they're like Big Bang Theory every year. Hooray. You know, it's not like that, but I feel like it's at least a decent midpoint, maybe leaning more towards the Oscars. My wife watches these when she remembers to, and I walk in the room and at this time I was sitting at my computer, which is in the room, and I kept turning around and watching the gags. Cause you know, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are entertaining individuals. Oh, come on.
What was that, dude?
Oh, come on.
There's a little extra on the end there.
Hey, I know you love them.
Hey, you sexist bastards. Women are funny, too.
I think they're hilarious.
Yeah. Just not them. All right.
Oh, man. Michael J. So some really poignant jokes.
Well, what do you expect for someone who doesn't like Rebels?
I know. Yeah. What will the guy like?
Hates Rebels, hates Amy Poehler, hates Tina Fey.
I used to hate Amy Poehler until Parks and Rec. Like back in the Upright Citizens Brigade days and stuff like that. And even
SNL,
when
she was awful.
Yeah, when she joined SNL, I was like, what are you thinking? But by the time she was finishing up at SNL, I was like, you've kind of made your bones, ain't you? And then they started up the show, and I was like, I'm surprised. It's a normal way to put it. You make your bones.
Actually, if I had to pick, I would choose Amy Poehler way before I would choose.
What are we discussing?
I want to know the parameters around this.
And
discussion.
The reason why I ask is because I vehemently disagree.
Oh my god! Oh, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
Everybody mentioned Rebels at some point.
Tina Fey's butt, not me. So.
I cannot respond to what he just said. I will get myself in so much trouble. Anyhow.
So about those reviews.
About those reviews that we're not to yet because I haven't introduced Mr. Stephen J. Howie of Master Control.
I'm here as well.
Suckling,
yes, you are.
Suckling his Pure Leaf tea.
Brought to you by Pure Leaf Tea.
As usual.
Not really.
But if the Pure Leaf Tea is looking to sprinkle a little cash money our way... A little ring-a-ding-ding.
All they have to do is give us free Pure Leaf tea.
I'm not sure that's all they have to do.
Dude.
I'm not sure.
Do I have to just start saying Budweiser over and over? Should I start that?
Can we at least pander to something that if they give us free stuff, I'll want some of it?
So like rum shotta? Hey. Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
man. Those will be some interesting podcasts.
Those would get a lot more exciting. They truly, truly would. But let's not delay things any further because I know Garrick is chomping at the bit to get into reviews.
Yes, reviews. Hey,
lots of stuff this week, man.
Guess what came back?
What?
You guys see what came back?
I think so.
Rebels came back.
What is back?
I like the fact that this show was picked up, developed, and brought back in like a third of the time it takes for The Walking Dead to finish its midseason break.
that's for sure.
Seriously. I'm barely dipped into my Downton Abbey days this year, and I'm already watching Rebels again.
Yeah, man. Rebels. He came back and with the fire of awesomeness. So the first...
I like the fact that it sounded like he had to take a breath. It came back with the fire of awesomeness.
That was me trying to think of something good, and it came out.
I can't come up with good.
There's Garrick on the fly.
I'm going to just of pretty awesome
try to
things,
channel that kid that dressed as Minecraft Steve that came to my house on Halloween.
Awesome. Minecraft is awesome.
So episode 8, as Path of the Jedi, as it was called, came out last week, and we've all seen it, right? Except Howie, of course.
I'm sorry, I have cable.
I think this season just came back with a bang. I mean, I love this episode.
It really did.
So real quick, just a quick synopsis is basically Ezra is trying to train more as a Jedi. It seems like he's taking it more seriously. So Kanan kind of comes up with
Or he's not.
Yeah. But at the beginning, he seems like he's running, I guess, working out or something. Like
he's being challenged too.
He's not being a lazy little lay around anymore.
Lay around.
Yeah. You get it. But Kanan gives him a task to find a Jedi temple, and he doesn't tell him where it is. He doesn't say what he needs to do. He's just like, just feel it. So
we're just gonna get in the car and go, man.
Yeah, man.
Here's some medicinal.
So Ezra uses his sweet Jedi powers to sense the temple, and coincidentally enough, it's actually on the planet they're on.
Lothal.
Wow, what do you know? So he is able to pilot their craft to this Jedi temple on Lothal, and it looks pretty cool. It's just a big stone spire surrounded by other smaller stone spires.
By the way, Howie, had you watched this, it was very much reminiscent of one of the places we broke into in one of our role-playing campaigns. Where a friend of the show, Steve, ripped his treasured blue scarf or sash or whatever, and then refused to part with it and kept wearing the ripped blue sash for like 10 more campaigns after.
Yeah, I think it got ripped off of him.
Yeah, it did, because he fell. And it got caught
on some claws. I remember this distinctly.
Somebody's claws. I don't remember who they belong to.
I love those claws.
So Ezra and Kanan approach this temple, and it doesn't appear like there's a way in. So, of course, Kanan's like, "Hey, go find it yourself, jerk." So Ezra goes around looking for something and realizes that he needs both of them to, I guess, meditate to try to lift this stone so that they may enter. So they end up getting into the temple, Kanan and Ezra do, and as soon as they enter the door that opens, they see some dead dudes laying around all skeleton like. And yes. Immediately Ezra loses his focus and drops the door and the sealing them inside the
temple. They are inside.
Yeah, and it takes two baby to get in. So
wow.
I could not. So that's kind of an issue where it's like, yes. All right, it takes two to get out. So here you got these corpses that we have explained are masters who brought their right. apprentices, and their apprentices went in to do their thing.
Never came back.
Never came back out. So the master just went, screw it. Now, here's the funny thing. Wouldn't it be funny if both of those masters were there at the same time and it didn't occur to them to just be like, hey, how about you be my Padawan and let's just get out of here. No, I don't want to be the Padawan. You be the Padawan. Screw that. I'm going to sit Indian style and die.
They seem like they're in roughly the same state of decomposition. So,
that's yeah, what I'm saying. That
could very well happen. So they get in and a door opens and Kanan says, okay, Ezra, go in there. So Ezra goes in there and immediately
trips balls
yeah. immediately starts yeah. tripling balls. Yeah. He gets all sorts of vision. He sees Kanan getting killed by the Inquisitor.
Yeah.
The Inquisitor, he immediately falls off a cliff and into the ghost. Oh, it's yeah. weird. Because he's tripping. Remember that? And then
he knows he's tripping, but it was, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a self-aware trip.
He's like, wait.
He's kind of figuring this out as he goes. Temple,
yeah. Right. That's right. So he's fully conscious of what's going on, that it's not right. This shouldn't be happening. So.
Essentially, what we see is this is an analog to right. the cave on Dagobah.
This makes where all the of cave his worst on Dagobah fears. Look like a father and son game of catch.
<'Cause this was laughs> it kind of does.
Because he...
Which it really was, except no one caught the head. The head just rolled off.
So basically, Luke just cut off his head and he's like, oh, that's me. That's kind of weird, I guess.
That sucks. Whereas
Ezra had just to
from one nightmare to another.
Friends and yeah. everyone he know get murdered by this evil looking Sith guy and then end up almost getting murdered himself.
Right.
But he eventually let go and the Inquisitor swung his lightsaber, didn't kill Ezra. And
because at that point, Ezra just goes, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid.
Yeah, he's like,
this
exactly.
isn't real. You can't hurt me. And he just kind of calms himself. And that's when he kind of
yeah.
passes this sort of test that he's,
which was really cool. That, yeah. that whole thing, just like, the Jedi trials. We've always heard
it was
Jedi trials, but we never actually, I mean, seen them.
It was
displayed
the
in front of us.
The Star Wars Rebels version of the G.I. Joe shipwreck miniseries, where yeah. you're like, none of this is real. This yeah. is all. But it's like still really pulling at you.
So after this all happens, we hear a familiar voice speak up, and
we do.
It's Frank Oz as Yoda, but you don't really see Yoda.
You never, just, you know, he's not there.
You never see him.
And I really, really liked that.
Gave me chills. I was so nervous when we heard that Frank Oz was going to be on Rebels.
Yep,
I was like, what? But
I
it made
too.
Perfect sense
yep.
because
yeah,
he
absolutely.
Wasn't actually there.
Absolutely.
And we don't even know if it was Yoda or
yeah.
just the
we don't
the
know if
Force
Yoda's,
using
you know,
Yoda's
sitting
voice.
On a, sitting on a slimy rock on Dagobah actually sending these words, or if it's just his essence there right. inside the building left over from
seen,
a previous time.
We've seen something familiar in the last chapter of the Clone Wars with Qui-Gon. He kind of resembled that same sparkly essence that with a disembodied
right,
voice,
yeah.
but yep. he was actually dead, or I guess...
One with the Force.
One with the Force, right, where right. Yoda is still kicking it around
alive,
in Dagobah
right.
Swamp, which mm-hmm. I guess is kind of a throwback there, maybe. So I'm not exactly sure what they're trying to display there with the sparkly, I don't know, mist or whatever Yoda was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But Yoda kind of mentors Kanan a little bit, you know, kind of, I guess he's kind of testing yeah. him, seeing why he wants to become a master. And he at the same time, he seems to be testing Ezra, asking him why he wants to become a Jedi. And at first, Ezra's kind of like, because, you know, I want to take revenge for what I want power. I want
right.
to, you know, pay the Empire back for what they did to me and all this. And Yoda kind of, he's like, oh, is that what you really want? You know, kind of goes to me. He's like, no, what I really want is to protect my friends. And Yoda's
right.
like, oh, okay, right answer.
Yeah.
So right. immediately, blue kyber crystal, you know, drops from the ceiling into Ezra's hand. At first, we don't know what it is. I kind of figured it out.
Yeah, it's kind of, if you're an Uber nerd, you're kind of like, yeah. well, that's what that is.
That's
yeah.
a lightsaber crystal. Yeah. So he ends up getting out. Kanan and him go back to the ship and
I really don't want to pass the dialogue.
I'm getting back to
the dialogue that they have when he's walking out.
you know.
Right. Well, before that, I mean, there's definitely a throwback or, you know, a nod to the EU, I guess, with the color of the Kyber crystal. Because with the way Yoda was asking him questions, he's like, it seemed to me like he was kind of determining what branch of the Jedi he was going to fit best into.
Yeah, at first you're kind of like, he's being judged whether or not he can even be a Jedi. And right. then as it comes out, you're like, oh, wait, he's being yeah. judged on what kind of Jedi.
Did he have to wear a talking hat?
Yes.
He was Gryffindor.
And it sounded like a British version of Kit from Knight Rider.
Okay.
And for people who may not know, there's three, you know, main branches. I mean, there's obviously right. probably more, but the three main ones are the Sentinel, the Guardian, and the Consular. Right. And typically, they're all marked by the color of their crystal. The Sentinels are kind of, or I guess I should start the Consular. They're kind of the peacekeepers. They favor peace above everything. They're the green crystal. Like Luke Skywalker definitely became a Consular later on, especially in the EU. The Guardians are kind of the ones who want to protect everything, kind of the frontline fighters. There's their blue. And then the Sentinels are kind of like a combination of both of them. They rely more on their like skills, their actual non-force skills and their guile. And their color is usually yellow, which with the way Master Yoda was asking the questions and the answers that Ezra was giving, you could definitely tell he was from the Guardian branch.
Yeah.
And when that
yeah.
blue crystal I mean,
if,
came
if
down.
If we are actually drawing from the EU, it fits
yeah.
perfectly.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I'm thinking, you know, okay, Kanan's got a blue lightsaber. I can mm-hmm. see them going, okay, we don't want two blue lightsabers. We want this to be colorful. Let's give him a green or yellow.
Yeah,
or
yeah. Purple. A design, right. A cartoon design decision, I easy, agree, would have right. gone the other way.
Exactly.
I agree completely.
But I love the way Filoni, and we know Filoni's a huge fan of the EU, and he, yes. you know, he knows that. What yeah. he did yep. there, and it yep. was a definite subtle nod to the fans who know all this stuff.
Right
now, I do have to
awesome.
I do have to stop us here and talk about the crystal for a moment, because actually, the Kyber crystal, this is kind of a new way to portray the Kyber crystal, because the Kyber crystal in the EU, prior to what we've known, was from Splinter of the Mind's Eye, and that crystal right. was. It's only comes up very few times in the EU or what's now known as Legends, and it was really just a crystal that helped focus force energy. It had nothing to do with lightsabers or anything else. So this right. is actually a new direction that they're taking. This.
And we blew up a ship full of Kyber crystals already right. in Rebels. Right,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit. I'm like, what are they? They're doing something with this. Yeah. This isn't just random.
They keep using that word, because in the real expanded EU, lightsaber crystals have had all kinds of different types. Adogen crystals, yep. there's all different kinds of names yep. of crystals. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not just been Kyber crystals. So
right.
because we've come to this twice now, it makes you wonder, okay.
What's, yeah, something's, where are they going with they're this? Doing something with this. So,
especially,
yeah, interesting.
Especially when you play, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, there's a bunch of different names for any kind of crystal you can
right.
play in
there. Now, on top of this, too, and I'm digging a little deeper here and getting a little nerdy, but actually in the EU, as we've known, and actually I think this is probably more introduced maybe in some of the video games, but actually lightsabers don't have just a single crystal, at right. least they didn't in the past. They had several different crystals. Now you have a right. main crystal that is the focusing crystal and that produces the color.
Determines the color, right.
Right, but you have other crystals that help, you know, with the stability of the beam and things like that. So so it's not just a single, at least traditionally hadn't been just a single crystal either. So it looks like we're kind of taking a little bit of a turn and kind of going yeah. in a different direction.
When you go to the toy store at Downtown Disney and build your own lightsaber, you put like three or four crystals in the bottom. The sales rep tells that's you canon. To do that. They're like, no one's going to care. Just stick like three of them in there. And you're like, oh, cool. Sweet.
It's going to be canon. Adjustable length, dude.
Yeah.
So at the end of this whole episode, Ezra kind of disappears and everyone's like, where's Ezra? And you're like, I don't
he's
know.
He's been up there for a week.
Yeah. He's been up there forever. He finally comes out and he has constructed his own lightsaber.
He has, yeah.
AKA laser sword.
Yeah.
No, I won't say yeah. that. That was bad.
And it is a light staple gun.
Yes,
absolutely. It looks like
which
gun,
somebody
right.
on Twitter a long time ago commented that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really cool when you activate it. You know, you usually hit used to that a snap hiss or a variety of that, maybe in a different tone. You know, mm-hmm. relatively all lightsabers kind of sounded the same. We activated his lightsaber. It was a totally different sound than what I was used to.
Yeah,
which smoother, I thought was pretty it? Cool. Yeah, it was like
like a, yeah, like almost like a release sound.
Yeah, I can't really mock it.
No, no. I'm not
good at making
explain
sound
it in onomatopoetic terms for us.
Yeah, well, I'm in a bazaba hob.
Lovely. Nailed it.
Yeah. All right. the whole staple gun in quotes version of this is it's got two uses, right? I mean,
right.
Seems to have another port on the front of it that looks like it could be like a blaster.
Right.
Or well, maybe in the next episode port. We'll find out. Mm-hmm.
Which you've already watched and I have not.
Yes.
Because they skipped a week. They said we can't compete with the Globes.
So real quick on episode 8, Frank Oz did do the voice of Yoda, which was I don't know if we mentioned that. But
we
that,
did. And
it,
I,
was,
I,
it merits another mention if we did.
I want to talk about that.
I do too.
Because this episode was good, hands down, period. They could have had the dude what played Yoda in Clone Wars.
Yep.
Right.
Tom Kane.
Do it. Yep. He did a really good job.
He did a good job. It would have been really, really, really
good. But it was definitely different. You could tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would have been really, really good that way. Now, let me talk about the difference by having Frank Oz do it. And the difference in between having Frank Oz read dialogue that's not co-written by George Lucas. I know we bag on him a lot. I know he's easy, makes it easy for us, but this was dialogue that someone carefully crafted to be very emotionally intense, full, meaningful dialogue. And hearing Frank Oz have the opportunity, because I'm sorry, I think people kind of agree across the board, and I know there are people who don't, but I think it's pretty accepted that the prequel trilogy had flat dialogue all the way through.
Yeah.
All the way through with almost no exception. Ewan McGregor milked a few points pretty well, but I mean, across the board, the dialogue is not something whatever you consider
sand
the strength
is
of
rough.
Movies. Wizards! But this dialogue was very well written, and hearing Frank Oz just pour himself into that, I felt like I was hearing Yoda for the first time since I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
I'm getting goosebumps. Look how he can confirm.
Yep.
Goosebumps appeared on my arms. Just thinking about it. Like I didn't tear up, but I had the moisture forming around my eyes. Just kind of the awe of like hearing that's freaking Yoda, man.
That's Yoda.
Like when I saw episode 1, I was like, yeah, Yoda. But like, this is like actually like, oh my gosh, that's a huge character from my childhood back, which I apparently haven't felt in a long time. I totally did with this episode. Right. And Frank Oz, oh man, what a performance. Yeah. I want him to get an Emmy for best vocal performance in a television episode or something.
It was just so soulful.
It was wonderfully done.
You know, it's kind of the difference, I think, sometimes. Of course, he did a great job in Empire Strikes Back because that's where we all kind of, had our first exposure. But I think it's, in general speaking, it's the difference between a cinematic film and a TV series. In a TV series, you can really flesh things out and really be very, crafted and direct about how you want to say and do things. In a film, it's kind of a race sometimes. And the prequels were definitely that way. It was kind of a race from beginning to end because you had to hit certain points and get there. But just having, I reiterate everything you're saying that, having Frank Oz come in and just hearing his, his tones and timbres and just, oh man, that is Yoda. And just having, you're right, just very well crafted dialogue. And
And like episode 1 Yoda, Frank Oz had the hand in the puppet,
right?
But it wasn't first off, the puppet looked really weird in that movie, but it didn't sound the same. I mean, there was more of like a high pitch to him and stuff like that. Like this sounded like the grave, relaxed old, I'm over it Yoda that we got in like Return of the Jedi.
Right.
That's what this sounded like to me. And oh man. Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff. And that's not just Frank Oz. That is the dialogue. That's how it was very well written.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Well, it was just the episode in its entirety. I mean, just the fact I love the fact I didn't expect this, when I first saw, this is gonna be an Ezra episode. It really was an Ezra and a Kanan episode. I was surprised that Yoda came out and was talking to Kanan. I was like, awesome. I mean, he's really
not only guiding
both
Ezra,
of these guys. Yeah.
He's not only guiding Ezra, he's making Kanan answer questions about his intentions while he's waiting out in the
the dead people lobby, you know,
hanging with his buds.
And again, I can't reiterate enough. I'm so glad that they had the balls, for lack of a better term, to not show the physical form of Yoda, to have him as a voice. That was awesome. Would be so easy to say, oh, well, we're having Frank. We got to have,
his voice is literally having a back and forth discourse with two different characters at once. And yet we're still left wondering, was it really
yeah.
him?
Yeah. Was it Yoda? Yeah.
And
was
that's the brilliance of it.
Yeah. Right.
You maybe Yoda programmed the place with his force powers or something.
There you
something.
Go. A Yoda-cron.
Yeah. It was just a leftover Yoda.
The Yoda-nomicron. Yeah, makes sense to me. Yeah, so are we going to talk about the episode of Rebels that airs this Monday, which will be in the past by the time listeners hear this?
We are. And you're just going to have to deal with it.
Because now I'm in the Howie position where I've not had a chance to see
it. Maybe I'll just give you some points on it and it will not
do that.
go all the way.
We're going to go all the way.
Let's do it.
All right. Relax.
I'm taking off my headphones. And I'm gonna brood.
So episode 9, and when I first saw this title, I about peed my pants. Yeah. The title of this episode,
you texted
is called,
it to me like 4 times.
I did. And no one replied. I'm like, idiots array.
More fun to watch you squirm.
Idiots array is definitely a blatant EU reference because it's a huge, I guess they pronounce it now Sabacc.
Yeah,
but I always thought it was Sabacc, but I guess it's Sabacc.
It's that's spelled how they pronounce
it. I've heard it Sabacc, Sabacc, Sabacc. I think
I've
always heard it was just called Spock's brother.
Sarek.
Oh,
that's
darn
his
it.
Dad.
Sybok is who I was thinking
oh,
of.
Oh, that's right.
Sybok is his brother, right?
Well, I'm glad I don't know that.
Is it the guy who was looking for Shaka Ree? Yeah, wouldn't that be Sybok?
Yeah, that's right.
Come on. You're supposed to be the Trekkie.
No, I don't.
Your wife's supposed to be the
Trekkie. Yeah, all right. So we need a better explanation of this. Anyway, Idiot's Array is
a hand that's almost impossible to get in Sabacc, but it is the highest hand in the game.
It's like the Royal Flush in poker.
Yeah, it's like it's really hard to get, and to go for it, you're basically stupid. That's why it's called Idiot's Array, because it's never going to happen. But apparently.
Wait. Let's back up.
Who plays Sabacc?
Is a card game. And we all know that in Empire Strikes Back, when Lando says to Han, "What have you done to my ship?" Han says, "Hey, you lost her to me fair and square."
Right.
And the EU backs that up, and he lost it in a hand of Sabacc.
Yeah. It was a huge Sabacc tournament where Lando and Han were the last two standing, mm-hmm. and he put his ship on the line.
Right. So the Idiot's Array is a hand in that game.
Right.
Yes.
So at the beginning, we see Zeb playing a mysterious stranger at this game, Sabacc, and he thinks he has a winning hand. Even goes to the point where he bets Chopper to sweeten the pot,
which is a great move. You gotta love that. So
it's kind of like Chopper. Zeb's like, it's just Chopper, whatever. If I lose, I'm good. So he kind of Kanan's like, "Hey, dude, what are you doing?" And then he's like, shows Kanan his hands, like, "Oh, okay, that's pretty sweet." So of course, it's one of those typical Old West scenes where the guy lays down his cards and begins to gather up the winnings when the other guy's like, "Whoa, wait a minute.
I have to ask, Garrett, was it like true Sabacc? Did they have like the randomizer and all that
going on? No. That's what I was going to throw that
it
in
wasn't
there. That's
true.
The one
they didn't
thing.
Go all the way.
Well, and that's why I was not quick to call, because in the show they don't name the card game at all,
right?
So we don't actually know what it is. Maybe
say Sabacc at one point.
Do they say that?
Okay. They do.
All right. But yes, it's not Sabacc what we know from the legends.
Are the cards electronic or are they
regular cards?
Oh, well, this is just old style Sabacc, you know. This is like the old ladies that still play, you know.
Maybe, you know, there's
dominoes.
so many variations of poker. Maybe it's the same thing, you know. Yeah, if they don't have a randomizer, there's just a different style.
Yeah, it's like Texas Hold'em versus five card draw.
Exactly. And for those who don't know what we're talking about with the whole randomizer thing, what they do in the EU is that there's like this like lamp type thing over the top of the table, and you put your cards on top of it. And at any given time while you're betting and things, the randomizer can change the face of the cards. Okay. So, which increases the complexity of the game, you know.
Yeah. It makes an idiot's array even harder to get because you never know what that random
card is. Exactly. Exactly. So, but in this game, it's just physical cards in the hands. Yeah.
So I guess it's easier. So Idiot's Ray isn't as good.
Yeah. That's but anyway. It's not what it was in the future.
The person Zed is playing, the mysterious stranger, lays down his cards.
And takes a swig of Colt 45.
Takes a swig of Colt 45 and said, I'll take my baby.
There's my baby.
It's Lando Calrissian.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Full in his jumpsuit and gold medal with his shirt open to almost his navel.
And let's just point out
the blue gold cape.
No, actually, he didn't have a cape.
Oh, he did not. No, he
was totally 70s out though. Lando Calrissian.
Let's be sure to point that we pointed this out several podcasts ago that Billy Dee Williams was going to be involved in an episode or episodes of Rebels, and it was Billy Dee Williams, and boy, man, he was on top of his game. Dude.
Oh my god!
Did he sound young? Or did he sound old and grizzled? Because Billy Dee,
they made the character look young, and he fit right in. Man, he doesn't sound old and grizzled at all.
I thought he sounded smooth, and he was right on it, dude.
Like everything, like he didn't get frazzled. You know, he was smooth all get out. It was so great.
He was so even keel about everything, and it's great because
they got a man crush on.
I think I kind of do, actually. I mean,
it's pretty awesome.
I'm intrigued by this.
He walks with a pimp cane in real life. I'm just saying.
They ended up trying to get Chopper back because I guess, you know, he's part of the crew, even though he kind of causes more harm than good.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he's kind of a butthole. But they say, okay, you know, Lando gives him a deal. He's like, okay, we'll run this, you know, this thing for me, and I'll let you have your droid back. So he ended up getting him on the ship, going to meet this guy named Asmorigon, who is voiced by James.
He's actually an archangel, and he's there to smite everyone.
He's actually based on the MacQuarie concept for the original Jabba the Hutt. So he's kind of like...
Right. He's a walking Jabba.
Yeah, he's like a walking Jabba. He's fat. He's kind of got a pink face and kind of piggish nose. Who's voiced by James Hong, who's pretty popular.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know him, but he was from Big Trouble Little China.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. He was the main bad guy.
He's been in everything, man.
Yeah, he's been in everything.
He is the negative American stereotype of Chinese culture.
Right.
Exactly.
He's
got a very recognizable voice.
Extremely, yes. Yeah.
So they ended up going aboard his ship, and Calrissian kind of sells Hera to him.
It's great. Yeah, you got to back up a little bit. They're going to the ship.
Yeah, and, they're going on the ship. He's like, "What happens if we get in trouble?" He's like, "Oh, there's escape pods." I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Well, the cool thing though is that he's convinced the crew that they've lost Chopper, so they've got to work for Calrissian to get him back.
Right.
And so they're going on this mission with Calrissian, and everybody's just kind of scratching their head. Nobody trusts him, and rightfully so. But Hera and Calrissian kind of have this.
How do you keep calling him Calrissian and not just calling him Lando?
Okay, Lando. He's does Lando. That make you feel better?
I mean, even Turk on Scrubs, just the whole, when Billy Dee was on the whole episode, he's going, "That's Lando."
Okay.
Have you seen that? It's a great episode. Lando.
Okay, so Lando and Hera, this whole time they kind of have this connection. She just kind of understands him, and he says things, and just like Garrick was saying, when they go on the ship, and they're like, "Well, what if things go wrong?" And he just happened, you know, he just kind of in passing says, "Oh, there's escape pods," and everybody else is just kind of like, "What?" And Hera kind of just seems to understand him. It's kind of weird.
He keeps referring to her as our captain. captain. And they're kind of like, he's not our captain. He's like, it's our captain, not your captain.
Lando's giving off some like falling so pheromones or something.
He's kind of like, within a couple minutes of boarding the ship, he's kind of like made himself part of the crew by referring to everything as ours. And ours. Yeah. It's like our ship, our captain, you know. So he ends up selling her to this dude.
Our matey.
And Kanan's basically pissed off. He's like, what are you going to do? He's like, oh, I told her how to get out of it. And he's like, when? He's like, just wait. So she, of course, Hera's, you know, goes into full beast mode and just beats everyone up. And boards the escape pod because, you know, Lando, that's what Lando told her how to escape. There's escape pods. So she ends up getting on an escape pod. They pick her up, bring her back aboard the ship.
And they get the cargo that Lando wanted.
It's like this perfect thing, you know. They evade the bad guys. They go to Lothal, but there's the Imperial whatever blockade that's not letting anyone by unless you have certain credentials. So of course she has jammer.
They mask the
ID of the ship, right. So that kind of goes wrong.
Yeah, they've got a transponder mixer.
That's what it is. But you know, there's some cartoony stuff that happens, and it ends up going down, and they have to evade TIE fighters and end up landing on Lando's, I guess, farm on this planet. I guess he has some sort
Lando has a farm on Lothal.
Well, the thing is,
there's a bright side of the galaxy, it's Lothal.
Apparently. Well, the thing is, Lando bought this pit. What is it called? It's some sort of pig.
Yeah, it's like a Gamorrean.
Is that what they call it? I think it's a blow pig.
It's like a blowfish, but yeah, it's a pig.
It's like a blowfish, but it's a pig. And it's supposed
okay,
to be
wait, wait.
To...
Are we talking about Star Wars or Avatar?
I know. This is where the cartoony aspect comes in.
Meet my pig bird, and this over here is my monkey bear.
It gets kind of ridiculous because if you scare this pig, it kind of inflates to like 20 times its size. And if you scare it more, it gets even bigger. So it's basically just like this stupid bouncy ball pig thing. But it's supposedly...
Mike's giggling. Normally, Mike would be hating
him
by now.
It's Lando, man.
It's called Calrissian, man.
But they end up
I get Lando has even charmed Mike into liking Rebels.
Oh, dude, no joke, he did. He's that smooth.
He's awesome in this episode, dude.
But the pig is supposed to be able to sniff out valuable rare resources underneath the surface or whatever.
And morel mushrooms.
That's right. So anyway, you'll be well fed and well paid.
You got any gum?
Sorry. So they end up landing on Lando's farm, but of course, as Morrigan, the bad guy, ends up getting there first because the guy who sold Lando the farm is that Deveronian from earlier episodes. Yeah, he's kind of the shady character.
Smuggler guy they sold the guns. They were trying to sell the guns to.
Right. So he, as Morrigan, I guess, basically contracted that guy to sell Lando the farm. So he knew where he was going anyway, so they end up getting in a fight. You find out Ezra's lightsaber actually shoots like stun balls at people, I guess.
Kind of like the ones from his wrist thing.
Yeah, but they're bigger and they're blue.
Okay.
And blue balls. So anyway, he shoots those and, you know, stunts. They get into a fight.
So proud of himself when he does that.
they end up winning and everything goes according to plan. And Lando at the end's like, don't worry, I'll see you again real soon. It kind of makes you think, I guess he's going to be another episode.
Then he cuffs Hera's right cheek and gives it a squeeze.
Well, Hera gets mad at him back when he sold her to Asmorgon. And as soon as she boards the ship, the first thing she does is punch him in the nuts.
Nice!
But land on the junk, and he gets that high pitch, like, you know, the cartoon typical high pitch, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was going on, baby. So I was like, exactly like that. So.
I imagine that's exactly how
it was. It was a great portrayal of Lando, probably the best since the movie came. Well,
they're spoiling us with these first two episodes back, bringing these major characters in and doing them so well.
Oh yeah, see, I was nervous when I saw, you know, Billy Dee Williams voicing Lando. I'm like, oh man,
yeah, because like usually he doesn't. I mean, the dude's still smooth for
I would probably go out on a limb and say they portrayed him better than they did in Empire. Because in Empire, I mean,
it was kind of right there, man.
The traitor butthole guy. Kind of selling them out.
You only really get that portrayal of Lando for basically up until he betrays him to Vader. After that, he's a guy who's just pissed off about the situation he's in and scrambling to get things back together.
Exactly.
The smooth talking Lando that we hear a lot about, you don't really see
this
a lot.
This guy, he's smooth as butter. He's just like, everything just seems to go his way.
he just talks himself into everything, man.
He just gets in all this trouble, but somehow you can tell he knows it's all going to turn out all right. It does.
Just even the mission, it was just, I mean, he made these guys think it was like, this is going to go in, it's just be a transition. Action, we're gonna be in and out, it's no big deal. And he was going by the seat of his pants. He's just like, he knows this guy, and he's got this thing, and now he's got a ship to get there. And I mean, he just really smooth talks his way in and out, man. It's just like it's great.
Perfect Lando.
And there's actually a behind the scenes footage, some YouTube stuff that we actually posted on our Twitter account. And if you haven't seen that, I encourage you to go take a look at it. But it shows Billy Dee, you know, in the back, you know, actually recording his lines and doing some read throughs and stuff with Filoni and whatnot. And it actually at one point shows him kind of improving his lines a little bit and whatnot. And they're like, oh, go with it. You know, they're like, if you want to improv stuff and whatnot. And some of that actually one of the lines Billy in that D, little no. thing. Yeah, right. Exactly. But some of that stuff actually made it in the final cut. And it was great. There's a particular scene where it's Lando and Kanan and Hera in the cockpit, you know, of the Ghost, and they're sitting there talking, and it's when they're first meeting, and he looks at it, he goes, I am what you would call an intergalactic entrepreneur, right? he looks at Hera, and he knows that she understands, and then he looks at Kanan, and he's like, that would be a businessman.
he keeps using big, like, not really big words, but to try to tell people what the definition are, like they're stupid.
Well, Kanan, yeah, he was trying to kind of put Kanan in his place a little bit, and Kanan really didn't like him, but it was just really cool, too, the relationship that him and Hera had. It was just really, you have to watch the episode, but it was just really, she just kind of understood him. It was really cool. Yeah.
It was great. You could tell he had a lot of fun voicing.
He did.
Lando again.
I really hope. And I think they will. Like, I hope they bring him back.
This episode sounds like it would have been full of a lot of great surprises for me.
Well, we left some, big out. Something big.
Good.
Not what? Really. What?
Was it the blue pig? Because you told me about that.
Oh, crap.
Well, good. I am really looking forward to seeing that. And hopefully a handful of our listeners get to see it before they hear this too.
Yeah.
So having said that, we've still got another review to cover. So let's move on. Let's move the show. Let's talk about Marvel Star Wars number one.
The best-selling comic in 1500 years or whatever.
Sold that's over like a the million history copies. Of comics.
I think it's 25, 30 years, they've said. I think the last one that sold like this was
Death of Superman.
A Batman. Or was it Superman or Batman?
I think it was a Batman title. Nightfall, Star Wars.
Oh, where Bane broke his back?
Yep.
Gotcha.
That's the one. Spoiler.
Have you not seen every movie?
Yeah, yeah, it's an iconic photo, man.
And on top of this, what's more remarkable about this is that they don't have newsstands. I mean, they don't have the help of newsstands selling these comics anymore. This is all through online and comic book stores. Actually, I think I read something today that said, I think 40% of these.
They don't have the help of newsstands, but, the internet.
Well, I think the biggest contributor to the sales was actually Luke, because they bought a buttload of Star Wars special variant versions for the loot crate. So I think that was a big portion of the sales as well.
Oh, is that supposed to be included in the loot crate?
Yeah, I'm excited. They always include loot crate comic sales, a single issue comic number or whatever. So that was a huge part of it too. But yeah, no newsstands, just comic shops and loot crate. That's what it did. Internet. But nobody's read it except me, right?
Correct.
No,
I haven't received my loot crate yet.
Well, I tried to pick it up today, and my local comic book store was out, so I have to go back Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
Well, I guess I'll just give you just a little background. Writer Jason Aaron, you may know him from Thor, God of Thunder, a recent run of Thor. If you haven't read that and you don't like Thor, that'll probably make you actually like Thor a little bit. Also did Southern.
I've
Bass.
Never liked Thor until the first movie featuring Thor.
Oh yeah, well his run of Thor, and he
known as Adventures in Babysitting.
His run of Thor goes up into the new relaunch Girl Thor, and he also writes that.
Girl Thor.
Yeah, I don't know what they're calling her.
I believe it's Thor.
It's Thor.
It's just
I think
Thor.
They just call her Thor.
Straight up
and they
Thor.
Call what who used to be Thor Odinson. So I guess he wrote the Odinson Thor up into the Thor now.
What about Thor and Stargate?
No.
No, not that.
No. Nope. Penciler, the one who drew the comic was John Cassidy, who worked on Astonishing X-Men with Joss Whedon. So there's pretty big names working on this comic to, you know, push it out right away. But I mean, the story was pretty good. Not much happened. I guess just
are we still talking about Thor or Star Wars?
Star Wars. Okay. Sorry.
You gotta tug your ear.
Okay. Yeah, so we're talking about Star Wars now, guys.
Here's the obvious one. I mean, where are we at in the timeline?
The timeline takes place after Episode 4 and before Episode 5. Okay. And I don't think it's too long after Episode 4 because of some of the events that happen. Okay. Right off the bat, they're landing on one of the moons of Corellia, I believe. Mm. And it's a special delegation from Jabba the Hutt to do business with the Empire. And as soon as they land, the door opens and out pops Han Solo and two guards that look like Jabba's guards with that Lando dressed up as in the...
Yeah.
And Jedi.
Yeah.
Of course, those end up being Luke and Leia.
Okay.
They intercepted the, you know, the original negotiators from Jabba and, you know, poses them to go to this facility to kind of sabotage it. Well, they find out the commander at that base is saying there's not going to be any negotiations. We're going to pay you what we're going to pay you and you're going to take it or, you know, you can die. And so they're like, well, okay. And then R2 spills some crap on the floor and electrocutes everybody. And then they fight. And then Luke finds some slaves and let them out. And then the negotiator for the Empire arrives. And it's Darth Vader.
What?
Yes.
That's a pretty strong negotiator.
Yeah, that's why there was not going to be any negotiations. They were just going to take what they were offered or, you know, I guess get choked to death. So Darth Vader comes in. Chewie's kind of not the muscle in this one. He's kind of watching their backs. He's got a sniper rifle. And they find out Vader's there because I guess Chewie knows how to say Vader in Sherwook or whatever, Wookiees or whatever you call it. And Han says, okay, you need to get out of there. And Leia's like, no, take the shot, man. Shoot the guy. So he takes a shot. Of course, Vader senses it coming and, you know, deflects it with some stormtroopers that are having to be standing. Literally, he picks up stormtroopers with the force and blocks the blaster bolts.
Hey, no, that's awesome.
That's what plastoid armor is for.
So at the end, they're like, okay, we need to get out of here.
There weren't any younglings around. So.
No, like, stormtrooper body shields. So at the end, you know, they're getting ready to go. And they're like, oh, wait, where's Luke? Of course, Luke has left the party to go find Vader and confront him, I guess. And at the very end, Luke hears Obi-Wan's voice saying, you know, hey, run, you know, he's like, Vader's here, Ben. And he's like, run, you know, get out of there. But the very last panel is Darth Vader strolling down the alley, down a hallway with his lightsaber and Luke kind of bracing to fight him. So it's kind of weird
that they would bring
a confrontation between the two of them so early before.
I really hope they don't, because you must confront Vader.
Yeah. And the reason I think it's not too far after Episode 4, cause Vader doesn't know his name. I'm guessing cause he keeps referring to him as the pilot who blew up the Death Star. When he lands on the planet, he's like, I sense someone it's the pilot who blew up the Death Star. And no one seems to know that Han Solo
is that the wording he used? You know, the pilot, you know.
Yeah.
The one what blew up the Death Star.
That dude what blowed up my Death Star. But yeah, I guess it might not take too long after that, because they don't know Han Solo's working for the Rebellion yet. And he kind of just, the commander of the facility kind of doesn't question that it's Han Solo negotiating for Jabba the Hutt, even though he's got a like huge death sentence on his head and bunch of credits for bounty and all this stuff. So I mean, there's some consistencies in the comic, but I don't know if they're going to be addressed later or just whatever. But overall, I think it was pretty good. Writing was good. The art was pretty awesome. But yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear the art was awesome. Hopefully I can follow the panels better than I can with some of the other comic books I've read recently.
I didn't have too much troubles following the panels. The panels are actually really large compared to some comics I've seen, really vibrant. So yeah, I didn't have too much problem following around.
Good.
What's going on?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm looking forward now more to my loot crate.
So. Now I spoiled two things for you.
Hooray! Thanks, Yay! Dick.
That's a record.
Well, that of course means, gentlemen, that it is time for the Porkins Report.
We got another one.
Oh, another one.
Mike says that every episode.
I'm just amazed. I am amazed.
Did you know that the dude what played Porkins was following around George Lucas for like 20 minutes trying to make sure they weren't going to put a pig nose on him once he heard that his name was Porkins?
That's a valid concern.
You gotta be kidding.
Really valid.
He really thought that?
Just in and out. Well, it makes sense. He shows up on set and everybody who's got a dumb name has like a prosthesis or something to go along with it.
You there know? Was a pig nose in the cantina.
So. I actually did a little homework and found out that the reason why he's following George Lucas around for 20 minutes was because just Lucas wouldn't confirm and he wouldn't tell him anything. And his words in recounting the story was, give an actor some direction.
Faster, more intense.
Which falls exactly like apparently George Lucas is just that antisocial that he just can't handle questions and runs
apparently
off.
Apparently not.
It just falls in line with everything else we've heard about actors trying to get something out of him. So, well, hey, another little feather in the Porkins Report cap. So that means it's time, gentlemen, to move on to rumors.
Yay! You guys know that this is my favorite part of the show, right?
This is where only because you say that every time the rumors music gets queued up.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. Right.
It's kind of like every other time we do Porkins, you go, another one?
And kind of like he doesn't even talk during the toy report because he doesn't even care.
Yeah, okay. Not because he's having computer problems and just mysteriously disappears.
No, not at all.
Like when you ask me a question and find out that I'm upstairs putting my kid back in bed. The curtain back too
that
far.
Was an interesting episode.
So rumors, you know, I actually thought by now we'd be hearing a lot more regarding like episode 8 and some of the spinoffs, and we're really not. We're not hearing a whole bunch of stuff about that yet. We're still hearing just kind of some straggling stuff with episode 7. So in that regard, I guess the big news here the last couple weeks has been actually this week, I think it came out that, and this is something we've kind of speculated on and we figured it would go this way, but teaser trailer number 2 is being rumored.
Is it a second teaser or are we not at trailer territory by then?
It's
when
hard
the movie
to say,
comes
man.
Out next year.
Well, here's the thing.
This year.
This is
what?
Not yeah,
I was like, what are you
this
talking
is,
about?
This is rumor, so none of this is confirmed. So I can't say if it's another teaser or if it's a regular trailer or what. But Latino Review has come out and said the next trailer, whether it's a teaser or not, is due to arrive in May and will be attached to the new Avengers movie that will be coming out, what, May 1st, May 2nd, something like that.
I would say that if it wasn't on the Avengers movie, so everyone at Disney was asleep for a month.
Well, we totally speculated that back when the first trailer came out. We said, well, it's got to be tied to that. So, you know, now that we're hearing some more kind of whispers in that regard, again, none of this is confirmed, this is rumor, to me it just kind of makes sense, right? I mean, why would they tie it to anything else?
That's
you
a
know
good point.
I mean, you know, we talked about you know, it came out in what, November, you know, at the end of the Thanksgiving weekend there, and that, you know, which is about, you know, a year out from when we were going to see it. You know, you put it in May, that's about six, you know, six, 7 months out from, you know, the release. So just made sense to us.
I mean, does it really need that advertising? Does it need that advertising to be on Avengers?
But why wouldn't it?
Well, why? Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Because, I mean, you're going to have the draw to see Avengers. You'll get more people to come in to see the Star Wars. Right. I mean, it's people will go back storm. To see it again, I mean, it's a perfect either storm for Avengers or Star Wars. It's one of those things where it's like...
I would click on the internet and go to YouTube.
Well, that's what
I want to see it on the big screen.
But you're going to see Avengers anyway, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just feel the force flow
through. It's one of those things where it's like, well, when you're going to be firing on all cylinders, fire on all cylinders, you know? It's a
Dolby surround sound.
Yeah, some straight up, some good old 5.1 because theater owners never upgrade anything.
It's true.
But yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world. Put the biggest movies in front of the biggest movies.
Well, and here you are.
You want to get people applauding and cheering before your feature film even starts. That generates a lot of hype.
I mean, and talk and about then it,
they could be let down.
Howie, go stand in the sourpuss corner.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, but talk about,
put the cap on.
This is the right audience, though. Too. I mean, I was listening to a podcast earlier today from.
You listen to other podcasts.
I do once in a while. Every time, once in a while.
I know I'm just picking out our little habits, but every time Mike says I was listening to a podcast, Gary goes, "You listen to other podcasts."
It's offensive every time.
But you know, one of the guys on the podcast I was listening to was reminiscing about The Phantom Menace, and when he, you know, the trailers came out for that, and he had to go see, I can't remember, it was a Brad Pitt, like Benjamin Buttons, or yeah, Meet Joe Black. It was he talked about he had to go watch Meet Joe Black to be able to see episode one.
Should say a lot. They can go out and see, get people to go see other movies that may not get as much.
Yeah,
but this is a perfect.
You can use trailers offensively, or you know, or defensively, but I don't think that. I mean, you got to play offense and defense, man. Come on, sports analogies.
I mean, this is
the best defense.
This is just perfectly lined up for Disney, man.
That's the other thing. It doesn't take away from there. You can only have like two, you know, two trailers a year in front of other production or other whatever publishers. You know, you just go, hey, we got this. We can slide it in there. It won't cost us a dime.
Let's face it. This year is going to have two huge, gigantic movies, and one of them is going to be Age of Ultron, and the other one's going to be Star Wars. So why not, man? I mean, this is
okay. So you guys
put a trailer in front of Strange Magic? That'd be funny.
You know, I like to play devil's advocate, and you guys just won't have any of it.
Well, you know that part of playing devil's advocate is
I'm not having any of it.
Is accepting that you will be treated like the devil.
I know, but you guys are showing how that you don't think about anything other than Avengers and Star Wars.
No, I don't because I'm very vocal about that.
I think about sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes I think I have to pee. But in terms of it, just I mean, okay, if I found out it wasn't going to happen, I'd be a little surprised, but I'd be like, because whatever decisions get made.
I'm just saying, this is the rumor cast. We need to speculate all angles.
I'm gonna speculate your ass back into the corner, Debbie Downer. Because the fact of the matter is, it just makes sense. It makes sense. It
completely makes sense, right.
I don't think it makes sense.
Well, you get in the corner with Howie.
I didn't say one way or another.
Get in that corner like the creepy ending of the Blair Witch Project and just stand there. That's what I'm saying.
All right. So here's the other half of this rumor. The other half of this rumor. The other half of this rumor is that the trailer is going to include footage of the original stars, so we're going to see some Luke Han and Leia in this one. So
nice,
Luke Beard.
I hear it every time.
I know, and you know what? That's what Lando calls him, so I call him Han. So
oh, that's why, because you have a man crush on Lando.
That's right. Now we know.
Yeah,
apparently Lando's the one mispronouncing everybody's names in all of Star Wars.
Once you see episode 19 of Rebels, you have a crush.
I don't
on
get
him
man
too.
Crush.
I've had a crush on him forever.
It's not even a man crush.
Mike sat with me at the Billy D. Williams panel Celebration 3.
That was awesome, baby.
I was frothing at the mouth, and he kept like nudging me and daring me to go up to there and ask a question to ask him to say, "There's my baby."
There's my baby.
And I'm like, he was probably in the studio for voice work on Jedi Outcast for like 2 hours. There's no way he even remembers doing that.
Nope, exactly.
But I wanted to hear him say, "There's my baby," so bad. So bad. No, I've had a man crush on Billy D from Billy D for a long time. Yeah, that's right. That was a Clumps reference. You're welcome.
Okay. But any surprises there? I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that whatever trailer they release here on out, it's probably going to include, you know, Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, right? I mean, you can't keep releasing trailers and not show.
They can do whatever they want,
right?
They can do whatever they want, but I think they made their point.
Yeah. They did. Yeah. They did. They made their point.
I'm not saying that like the angry, dismissive boss. You've made your point. I think they successfully did what they wanted to do
completely.
So yep. They don't have to be quite so heavy handed. I think, yeah, it makes sense to just kind of be a little more even. I hope it's not like exclusively just the original cast. Like, I don't want every trailer to be thematic in that regard.
No, I don't think
it will be Trisaber.
Yeah, I just want it to be a good cinematic trailer. That's all. I don't want it to be stroby. I don't want it to be like fade ins and fade outs constantly. I just want it to be a good trailer.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about trailers here, because it seems that the, I don't know, it just 10, 15 years, trailers just seem to be getting more and more and more and more
obnoxious,
revealing about. I mean, they almost give away the best points of the whole movie.
You're terrible.
And a good example of this is, and I hate to bring this up, but Dumb and Dumber 2. Okay, you know, I'm a fan.
Here's
right?
going to be the shining example of everything. Please.
Anyway. The best jokes were shown in the trailer.
There's no movie called Dumb and Dumber 2, by the way.
Okay,
no such
whatever.
Film.
Okay, yeah, whatever. So anyway, like I said, the best jokes are shown in the trailer. And that's pretty much kind of across the board, it seems like, anymore. With any trailer that comes out, they kind of show the best points of the movie in the trailer. Do you think that they're going to be a little more discerning, hopefully? You know, JJ trying to be more surprising.
The week after the movie comes out, the entire movie will be in the trailer. But I think they might be a little reserved at first. But the fact of the matter is, Hollywood came to a realization. Why are we hiding anything? Let's get them in the theater. Once we have their money, who cares?
Yeah.
So show you everything cool about it in the trailer. So you go see it. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing that I think is just acceptably real. It's just, it's what is done these days.
Yeah.
You miss the whole, a boy, a girl, a galaxy. That's what you want?
Yes, it is, actually. Yeah.
Is that you want every alive? Trailer to start with, in a world.
Why don't they do that anymore?
That's where they have to
They do when they're
savers.
Mocking other movies.
Yeah, that's all it's used for.
Yeah, I know. You know, it was that video meme a long time ago on the internet, where it was just those guys who do those voices, like doing a bunch of in a world things about them and their own lives.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think that's what killed it. Anyhow, so what's next on the old bullet points of rumors there, Michael?
Well, there's speaking of rumors.
Wow,
there's been
place to bring this.
We've had tons and tons of them over the last 6, 7, 8 months, and we kind of had talked about how things are probably going to play out, and just to kind of recap what kind of our feeling has been is that. You know, what happened with J.J. Abrams with Star Trek, for example, was that a lot of the beginnings of his movies at the very, you know, start when he was starting, that a lot of the rumors that came out ended up being true, so to speak.
Exactly true.
As time went on, you know, that's where all the misdirection and things kind of hit in. And they were trying to, you know, pull people away from, you know, what the movie was. So it'd be a surprise for him, that type of thing. So, so, you know, we've heard, you know, through the grapevine from, you know, some of these rumor sources and whatnot that, you know, from here on out, we're going to be hearing a lot of misdirection stuff and blah, blah, blah. Well, here comes Oscar Isaac this past week. And,
Davis himself,
your favorite, name in a Star Wars, movie, Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
Poe Dameron is, coming out.
Poor old Dameron.
Poor old Dameron. Anyway,
what, he was Cajun Dameron. Dameron. Got Liam Perron in my Dameron.
Oh, Dameron.
Shrimp.
Actually, so Oscar,
I don't know. Shrimp.
That would make that name much more appealing, I think.
Shrimp salad, shrimp kebabs, shrimp grill.
I'm okay.
Anyway, so Oscar Isaac was interviewed here recently, and basically, you know, they were asking him, oh, you know, what, you know, what's it been like on the film and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, it's, you know, been one of the most secretive films I've ever worked on, blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, all these people and all these rumors are just way off base. They're just not even he called close. Us out. He's like, you know, if you people think you know what's going on, you're just not even close.
Yeah, because that teaser was way different than.
Oh, yeah, that teaser just slapped us upside the head, didn't it? Like, oh, I just got cold cocked.
So, you know, I read this and I'm just thinking of what we've been talking about this whole time, you know, that from here on out, we're going to be hearing a lot of the misdirection. In your opinion, is this just feeding that whole idea that, you know, they're going to start having the stars come out now and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Ah, this is just rumors. Ah, it's not Khan. What are you talking about? Yep. Kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe that Oscar Isaac plays Khan.
I do, too.
Oh, man.
Tell me he's got Poe Dameron. Yeah, you know what? That's it's what you really told me about
Khan Union soon.
Whatever Marvin or whatever his name was in Star Trek.
John Harrison.
That's the one. Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison. There we go.
I almost said Marvin Harrison, but I was like, no, that stop there. Don't make an obscure football reference in error.
Stop quick. Come back. Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not buying any of this, huh?
No. I'm sorry. To me, it's open and shut.
I'll
play the devil's advocate and I'll say yes, I buy it all.
Yeah. I'm not saying
Garrick.
High five, Howie.
I have to be angry at Garrick now. I'm not saying that I buy every rumor we've gone over, because a lot of the rumors we've gone over have been completely contrary. Yeah,
did he say all the rumors were way off base?
All the rumors, they're all true, including the ones that undo each other.
But did he say that all of them were off base, or that did he say that some of the rumors were off base?
He didn't.
Did he specifically say
some of the rumors are way off base. Blah.
Did he mention our podcast by name?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
And say our rumor.
He said the closest anyone has come is Fly Casual Podcast. Oh, yeah,
there you go.
Listen to them.
The closest anyone has come is this podcast that just reads off anything.
Hey, we come up with our own speculations.
With all the stuff we've gone through and all the stuff we lend credence to and all the stuff we dissect versus the stuff we dismiss out of hand, I feel like the picture that's coming together in my head is probably pretty likely. Having said that, there's conveniently still a lot of major holes in that. Not little.
Of course.
It's not like there's little things that I don't know yet. There's major holes, whole plots that I have no idea, but I feel like the stuff that I have a good grip on, I have a good grip on. And when somebody just comes out and goes, whatever, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Show smoking. Me the movie.
He's getting paid to say it.
Right.
Been smoking some blue meth.
I know it.
Speaking of blue meth.
never try your own. Never do your own product.
You know, the rumor mill never fails to impress science, me. This is science, yo. Absolutely. We had this weird rumor come out here a couple weeks ago about the Star Wars spinoffs, which, by the way, these spinoffs seem to be in disarray. Am I off base on this? I was going to say,
you're not only not off base. There are entire runs of articles amongst various publications about how the Star Wars spinoffs are in total disarray.
Yeah,
I think they're doing a better job of misdirection on the spinoffs than anything else.
I don't think it's intentional.
By just simply not having a direction.
Yeah, exactly.
They got me there. Oscar Isaac's dead on about that.
It's funny because 6-8 months ago, you know, when we were starting this podcast up, you know, there was, you know, Disney had come out and they had put out this great, you know, schedule, and pretty much we were going to have a Star Wars movie every year through 2020.
And who bought it?
And And who bought it?
Who bought it?
Disney.
I bought it, I guess, in some form or fashion.
I think we very early on expressed concern about annualizing any
being
franchise.
Being able to do that, right.
As a fan of video games, I know how that's a great way to ruin things that are otherwise great.
Well, we classified this early on as being a very aggressive schedule, and maybe too aggressive, and maybe not even really possible. And that seems to be playing out right now, in my opinion, because I mean, we have we've got episode 7 coming out here in 2015. 2016, we're supposed to have a movie. We're supposed to have a spinoff in 2016.
Nothing.
We have nothing.
Nothing.
Nope. There was rumors. Oh, it's going to be a Han Solo movie. Oh no.
We
it's
have
be
Aaron a- Paul, man. We Yo, have Aaron well, Paul.
With Yo. With okay, then Mr. let's go White. That direction. Let's go down that rabbit hole. Okay, right? So Han Solo has been rumored for a long time to be one of the spinoffs. And
shaking my head in the microphone.
Obviously, if you go the direction of Han Solo, you have to go in the past. You have to do a prequel of Han, right? I mean, there's no way you can do.
Don't have to.
Well, if you do in between Han, it'll be like, man, what happened to him in that time? He got like 8 inches shorter and a lot more stubbly.
Got a smaller forehead. Right.
So Han Solo has been rumored to be one of these spinoffs. Well, out of the blue here a couple weeks ago, Aaron Paul, and you know Aaron Paul from the Breaking Bad TV series, okay?
No. If you know him from anything else, you're weird.
I know him from Need
you
for
can
Speed.
Know him Methy.
Yeah, exactly, you're weird.
Methy Jesse, that's Aaron Paul. So.
Methy Jesse. Wow. Okay. I haven't heard that one. That's pretty good.
That's his Twitter handle.
Oh, is it really?
Right. Yeah.
Pinkman. Yeah.
So Aaron Paul suddenly was being rumored to be, you know, playing Han Solo in this Star Wars spinoff. Now, this has come out a couple weeks ago, and I think since then he's kind of come out and made a statement about things and kind of reeled this in and said, no, there's not really any truth to this. But I kind of want to do two things here. I want to explain from my understanding why this came out the way it did, and then I want to throw it to you guys and ask you, Aaron Paul's Han Solo, what do you think? So let's just start there. What do you guys think? Aaron Paul has
Han
Solo.
You just completely did it out of the order that you said you were going to do it in.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I can go back if you want me to.
I'm not ready.
Okay. Well, then let me give you some back. I'll let you guys think on that for a second, and I'll give you some back story on this. Aaron Paul is in the news recently because, and this is, I think, a little known fact. In L.A., I don't know, it's probably been a month or so ago. There's this guy, and I cannot remember his name to save my life, that he does these script reads, right? So he'll bring in he'll have classic scripts.
Son of a major director who's also done some directing. I can't remember.
Right.
Clint Howard.
No, it's not Clint Howard.
Clint Howard's not the son of a major director.
What he'll do is he'll take scripts from
brother.
He'll take scripts from classic movies and he'll bring in, you know, A-list actors and people that know, you know, that people know nowadays to read these, you know, they just sit on a stage and it's just a read.
Yeah. And people pay money and go watch like a bunch of random
set up on stage
a movie that might be 20, 40 years old.
Exactly. So recently,
and they sound like they're a lot of fun. Actually,
they do. I kind of looked into it a little bit. It looked like a lot of fun. And the reason I know this is because very recently, before this report came out, Mark Hamill was involved in one of those, and it was a Empire Strikes Back read.
That's right.
He read the part of Palpatine, actually.
That's awesome.
Hopefully in the voice of the Joker.
He can pull off a way better emperor than the emperor.
Son of Skywalker. So they brought in Mark Hamill, but on that cast also was Aaron Paul, and he was reading as Luke Skywalker. Okay, so I from what I can tell of how this has all transpired is that this was a very popular read. I think this got more attention than most of these get.
But they are getting substantial attention as is. So even that's saying something.
But the simple fact that Mark Hamill dropped in on this right after he's gotten done filming, you know, The Force Awakens and blah, 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 really drew a lot of attention.
That, I think Hamill's just happy that his wife is letting him identify as having to do with Star Wars again.
This is true.
I'm allowed to off the leash now.
So I think you guys see where I'm going with this. I think one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, there's a bunch of chatter about, oh, Aaron Paul. Hey, how would he fit in this? Oh, you know what? He'd be great as Han Solo, you know, in a spinoff movie. So right. I think that's kind of how this came together. And that's pretty much what Aaron Paul has said, is that there's no talk about this. This is, you know, so he's kind of dismissed this. So anyway, that's why he's in the news. But, you know, now I'm going to throw this back at you guys.
Now we get the meat tossed in the pit.
Aaron Paul as a young Han Solo. What do you guys think?
Too short. Next.
That's the casting director.
It just didn't make sense to me. I feel like
Aaron Paul has a very special charisma about him, much the way that Harrison Ford has had. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact of the skyrocketing popularity of Breaking Bad. You know, well-deserved skyrocketing popularity. The great job that he did with a character that went from like completely like flippant idiot to, you know, someone who just becomes the definition of tortured soul, you know, and back and forth over and over again, and did an incredible job with it. And on top of that, he's, you know, really philanthropic. He's really, you know, he's really, really great about the community. From what I hear, he's great with fans. Without being like this artificial kind of humbleness, he just embraces what everything has become. In a really respectable way, which if you think of him as Jesse Pinkman, you wouldn't expect that, because he does kind of carry himself. Pinkman is an extension of him, you know, but he seems like he'd be a douchebag, and he's not. He's apparently the absolute polar opposite of a douchebag. So having said that, having said that, he's got a really cool charisma about him, but I think that would work in a Han Solo-esque character.
Yeah, really?
I think he could play that type of character, but I don't think he can play Han Solo.
I'll take a little bit broader than that. I don't know about him as Han Solo. I don't know that I would buy it, but I think his gritty way he can act fits perfectly in Star Wars.
What do you think about Aaron Paul as a young but not as young Boba Fett?
No,
just for
young
fun.
Dengar.
Actually,
that's not bad.
Yeah.
my only exposure to him is Jesse Pinkman, man. So I'm just having a hard time, in my mind.
That's most people's only exposure to him. Well, yeah. you need to go see the Exodus movie.
Is he in that?
Yeah, he plays the role of. You're pointing the boat. At something.
He plays for the boat. He plays the boat.
No, he does not play. The boat was in Genesis. Aren't you the son of a preacher, man, for crying out loud? I believe he played Aaron.
Yes, not Noah.
He played
the role of Aaron, really?
Didn't he play Moses' half-brother?
His brother. Huh. Interesting.
I believe that's who he played. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, he was in that movie. So I mean, there are other things you can go out and see. You can go out and see the old what Garrick mentioned, Need for Speed. I think he could play that type of character, like the kind of smuggler antihero, because that's exactly what Jesse Pinkman was, more or less. He was a drug making antihero,
a death stick dealer.
Yeah, he could play Elon Sleaze Bagano. You know, son or something. I don't know.
That's 99% pure destiny.
He was the drug dealer with a conscience, wasn't he?
Yeah. Everything he got into went wrong. And so it was always this like struggling. When he wasn't going through some dramatic, cathartic thing, it was this like thing that was just falling apart in the most, you know, farcish way possible.
What if he played Han Solo's dad when Han Solo was a teenager?
What if Bryan played
his transvestite mom? You know,
what if Bryan Cranston played Jabba? I think that would be perfect.
Okay.
Good point to transition.
Well, we have some casting rumors. Have you guys heard about the casting rumors?
Aaron Paul as Star Wars?
No, not Aaron Paul.
as Mr. Star Wars. I am Star Wars, yo.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny. It's funny. We're at this point in the film, and we're still getting some casting updates, rumors, whatnot. I guess this is a rumor because, of course, hardly anything is official out of Disney. But The Raid, this is some kind of a trio of guys that have acted in other films. They're like kind of action guys that do the martial artists, kind of specialists. This kind of harkens back to
a gaggle of Ray Parks. You mean
a gaggle of Ray Parks? That's a good way to put it.
Is that a grouping of Ray Parks? Is that
either that or a murder of Ray Parks?
Well, do you guys remember
murder?
A little while back, several months ago, we had a guy that was cast. That's one of those parkour artists. Parkour. You know those guys.
Right. Parkour.
Parkour.
So those guys that are very, they're kind of like urban gymnasts, I guess, is how I like to describe
urban
them.
Urban gymnasts. I just pictured running an outdoor workout facility on the south side. Urban gymnasts.
Wow.
These guys that run around show? These.
Hey, dog, you almost done with the parallel bars. Urban gymnasts.
So there
you
these
sound
guys.
Like an old white guy trying not to sound racist.
What? Okay.
I know it's completely off base, but that's just what it sounds like.
So just to give a picture for these people that don't know what this is, I mean, there's go on
you
YouTube
mean
and look
people.
Up parkour.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's not me. It's Star Wars. To give a picture for folks who don't know what we're talking about, you can YouTube this, but there's these guys that go around filming themselves doing these, you know, crazy jumps off buildings and, you know, through the, you know,
I think most people know what you're talking about.
And blah, 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 blah. Yeah, anyway, so that's what these guys are. They're kind of in the same vein there. So, which is interesting to me because, and I guess just goes to reinforce what we know about prequels versus, you know, how J.J. Abrams is approaching this film. You know, if it was, you know, George Lucas and he was filming, you know, one of the prequels, you know, of course it would just be all CGI to hell, right? You know, but it looks like here, you know, it's just reinforcement of, you know, what we know about J.J. and how he's approaching this film, where he's trying to do everything as practical as possible. So, you know, instead of, you know, having, you know, CGI heavy guys doing crazy action, he's
people
actually bringing. Yeah, he's bringing in guys that actually can do this stuff.
I remember the opening scene to Casino Royale and seeing that kind of parkour chase scene, and like seeing how the one, you know, the guy that 007 is chasing, just, you know, he's a parkour artist, just definitely all over everything, and then seeing how like Bond is just having to try to keep up with him by just like slamming through crap and just, you know, and seeing both of those things happening at the same time and how it was all very practical, even though the camera was this really kind of visceral, low, you know, like early 2000s, everything, and when it had to be action, you had to drop frames to make it look more actiony, which annoyed the snot out of me. But even with that, it was just like, it was really, really cool just seeing someone go, we don't have to be completely fantasy to do amazing things that are really intense, you know? And I remember that being just really struck by that. So yeah, using artists like that in a film, I would say do that every time you can, because as soon as somebody gets on wires, you're automatically, it's rare when someone's on wires and it looks really real.
You're crouching tiger, hidden dragon territory.
Exactly. You're getting all Ang Lee up in here.
I could see all these parkour people doing all these flips and whatever they do, and then just Han Solo pulls out a blaster and just, you know, mows them down.
Yeah, diarrhea scene from Raiders.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, buddy.
That'd be sweet.
Well, cool. Well, that's all I had. Unless you guys had anything else to add with these
hey,
cast.
What's
rumors?
This thing I heard about a female stormtrooper? What's
well,
this nonsense,
what?
Michael? You think you're gonna get away without talking about it?
I was gonna try to get away without talking about it, but
Turker Gerbs.
This is complete rumor, man, and I don't know how much to believe of this, but this actually just came out today. This just kind of hit the internet. There's, you know, along with this, the Raid, you know, these guys we were just talking about being cast. There's a whole slew of other, you know, kind of lower line actors that have been are being rumored and announced for the film. And one of which is being rumored to be a female stormtrooper. And what? We talked a couple casts ago about John Boyega and some people's, you know, reaction to, oh, they're, you know, stormtroopers, those guys are clones, and this is a black guy, and that just seems weird to me. Well, now they're throwing
letting supposedly a non Kiwis up in here.
It's getting worse.
Oh man. Now it's all about suffrage and stormtroopers.
So now we have female stormtrooper. Now I come into this rumor because I think we all are gonna have something to say about this, because for female stormtrooper, for the layperson that just watches the movies, that might be kind of weird. It's like, well, we've never seen a female stormtrooper before, but actually, we've just reviewed a book not too long ago that actually included a female stormtrooper, right?
That's right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Garrick? Remind us.
It had a female stormtrooper in it.
Which book was that? Would be.
It was the was it New Dawn? Was
yeah,
that
what New it's Dawn.
New Dawn.
Rebel Dawn.
It was the kickoff the first, novel for right. for Star Wars Rebels,
and
right?
It wasn't a very big part. It was no. it, but. It was definitely intentional, obviously.
So, you know what's funny about that? Because
she wasn't a stormtrooper, was she? She was a...
No, she's a stormtrooper. There's a stormtrooper and a captain.
That's right.
There's both.
Now, this could go two different ways, because actually, I heard an interview with the author of that book, and his name escapes me at the moment, but he actually said, you know, because the interviewer said, you know, well, hey, what about the female stormtrooper? And he went on this thing, is like, well, you know, I threw it in there and they didn't throw it out. And so I went with it. And now if this rumor turns out to be true, you know, that they're putting a female stormtrooper in the movie, that seems less likely to me that it was just something this author threw in and got away with.
It was
and
John seems Jackson more, Miller, by the way.
John Jackson Miller, thank yeah. you for yeah clarifying. But it seems maybe it was a little more intentional. He was just being kind of coy in that interview because he didn't want to give anything away that was going to happen in the film. What do you guys think?
My question is, are the boobs molded into the armor?
That's really the only thing that matters.
That's my only question. Yeah.
Let's pull up some cosplay. Let's pull up Yahoo. Let's do some cosplay searches.
Plenty.
I don't think those are regulation Imperial Stormtrooper.
Wait. Before we go on, hold on. Mike, you're still searching using Yahoo?
I do. I like Yahoo. For image searches, I like it better than Google.
Bing me
I'm
up,
sorry.
Mikey. Wow.
He is an old man.
Yeah. Hey, we're on the AOL. Shouldn't make fun. I know Mike was using America Online up until recently.
So. Oh no!
I like my Netscape. You guys leave me alone.
Keyword fly casual.
Will we come up if I do a Prodigy search? I'm just asking.
GeoCities.
I think that I don't care. As long as it's literally not what the reason why I asked what I said, because it would be funny to ask the question, but also because I don't, if there's female stormtroopers, I don't want them distinguishable in any way from the outside. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the helmet comes off and she lets her ponytail down and swishes it back and forth in slow motion to Dreamweaver, and that's fine. But as long as when she's a stormtrooper, she's a stormtrooper and not the stormtrooper what has boobs on the front.
Just don't make a big deal of the fact that she's a female.
Yeah.
Because if you make a big deal about it, then it's...
so will the audience.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See, well, thank you for going down that road, too, because I doing these types of things for the sake of doing it, or because somebody feels like that it's, you know, we need to portray, you know, what, you know, society is nowadays, yeah, and blah, blah, blah.
Stormtroopers,
yeah. It's like, oh man, I just want to shoot myself in the head with that stuff. I mean, I think we've said this before. I mean, when I go to the movies, I want to escape all that, the bullshit from the day to day.
Don't preach to me. Make it right. So make it reality. Right. Just go through it and don't make a big deal out of it.
The minute
the camera lingers too long or there's too much of a pregnant pause at the end of a sentence, you've ruined everything.
Exactly.
How do we know there weren't female stormtroopers before?
I'm willing to swallow it. I'm so willing to swallow it as long as
they had to be
what
tall
Corey's
women.
Saying.
Just don't spit it.
Right, exactly. What you guys are saying is that just don't throw it in my face. Don't make it a big deal.
Oh, no, it's getting worse.
It wasn't you, Mike. It was Howie this time.
Okay.
But then you didn't help. I'm sorry for making us talk about this. Why don't we go ahead and close things out?
That will learn you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for episode Michael Jordan of Fly Casual. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Fly Casual Podcast. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Fly Casual Podcast. I don't feel like it was the same thing before, but you guys are telling me.
It's Twitter is what?
Fly Casual 1138.
1138, right.
That's what it was. We got that wrong in the last episode. Heaven's
That's all right.
Uh-oh.
We'll live.
Steve's going to kill us. Seriously.
Go to betterkind.com. You'll find us.
Yeah. And get some interaction with our wonderful international. I don't know. Yeah, he's international. He was over here.
Very recently.
He's an international man of mystery.
That's true.
Who went to Albuquerque and did everything Breaking Bad related, topical. Nice. Have you seen like all these pictures and everything? That man is all up in the Breaking Bad right now. But another shout out to Steve Potter for doing a wonderful, wonderful job managing some of our social media mogul. Yeah, social media mogul. And so get on there and also get on whatever you obtain our podcast and give us a thumbs up, a high rating, 5 stars. Talk about how great we are, how we cured some horrible disease that you may or may not have had and things like that so that we can find new people, new listeners. Because frankly, guys, you're not doing it for us. No, the opposite of that. We want more of you. We like you so much. We want more of you.
I want to give everyone a big hug.
Oh, boy.
Hugs and kisses.
Okay. Can you tell it's late and I have to get up early? Can you tell? I'm like, whatever.
We've been talking about Lando a lot. It puts him in that mood.
Here's my... Anyhow. Please do those things for us and we would really appreciate it. And strike up a conversation because we like hearing from you guys and we like talking about what you want us to talk about. So, anything else? Boys, I'm Corey. There's Mike over there somewhere.
Hey.
And the Garrick over there somewhere.
Yay.
And Howie right here, the devil.
I am.
Yeah. Yep. So
stole my knife.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back in a week. In the meantime, there's my jelly.